Well, welcome to our series in baptism. We're going to look at a number of different things in these sessions. We're going to start off, though, looking at the theology of baptism. We're going to look at the candidate for baptism, the criteria for baptism, and some other practical aspects. But we just want to say that this is really part of the process. This first part is part of the process of how a person goes from learning about baptism to actually getting baptized. This is not meant to be a treatise on baptism. In fact, we want to say at the get-go that there are many good and godly people who agree to disagree on this, and that's okay. But in short, we would hold to a position that is commonly known as believer's baptism. Although I know that's a bit of a misnomer because there are plenty of paedo Baptists who would also baptize adults, and also a good many churches that would allow both infant baptism and baptism by immersion for adults. My hope is that even if you may disagree with us on the matter of infant baptism, we may all agree on some practical principles we would give to an adult who is wanting to be baptized as a believer. So at the very least, we would just encourage elders to be clear on this and be able to defend their position biblically. But this is what we would tell a candidate for baptism. We would start off with the theology of baptism or the biblical passages on baptism. And what we would do is basically share what baptism is and what it isn't. So some passages you may want to share maybe would be start with Matthew 28 and the command for baptism. Let me just read it. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, to the end of the age." So you would start off just simply explaining the command of baptism. And then you'd probably move into Romans chapter 6. Let me just read part of this. Verse 3, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this." And Paul continues to go on, but that's a very important passage on the meaning of baptism. You may also want to explain to the candidate who is wanting to be baptized the other examples of baptism in the book of Acts. You'd certainly want to answer the question, which oftentimes comes up, is baptism necessary for salvation? And we want to be very clear with them that water immersion does not save anyone. We'd want to guard against the heresies of baptismal regeneration because we don't want to give people the false sense of security that merely because they've been baptized that means that they're now born again. So you want to go through the theology of baptism, the biblical passages on baptism. The second aspect would be the candidate for baptism. How do you actually get people interested in baptism? Well, usually this just happens normally in the ecosystem of the church. A person gets saved, or they're new to the church and they hear a message on it, or they're reading the Bible for themselves and they realize baptism is actually an important part of what it means to be a Christian. And so they're interested in baptism. So this may just happen naturally. In our context, periodically, we'll actually announce before the message on a Sunday morning, look, if you haven't been baptized and you're a believer, you need to be baptized. So come and talk to one of the elders. We want to set up an interview and just meet with you. You know, you can do this through the office, give them some guidelines. And in that meeting, once a few people express interest, you're going to want to ask them a few questions. Why do you want to be baptized? Try to discern some of their reasoning for why they'd like to be baptized. Are they being coerced into this? Is there outside pressure to get baptized? Are the parents driving this and leading this, or is this a personal matter of obedience? You'd also want to ask them about their testimony, hear about their background, hear their story, and ask them to just simply articulate the gospel message. What is the gospel? And you're not asking for an entire systematic theology, but a general understanding of the gospel. Do they mention and can they articulate repentance and trust in Christ alone for their salvation? If it appears that they have no real grasp of the gospel, no understanding of salvation, then it quickly becomes an evangelistic opportunity. We want to encourage you not to waste these opportunities. This is one of the reasons we announce this, and we invite anyone who's interested in baptism to come and talk to us, because a lot of times it becomes an opportunity to share the gospel with unbelievers. So in this initial meeting, they might say something like, well, I'm a good person, and it just seems like the right thing to do to get baptized. Well, you'd want to gently take that person aside and explain to them what the gospel is, and hopefully set up subsequent meetings to talk about what it means to be a Christian, hopefully lead them to salvation in Christ alone. So I want to encourage you not to waste those opportunities. But at a minimum, the person being baptized needs to understand the gospel, and it needs to display some measure of saving faith. Because again, the last thing we want to do is give someone a false sense of security, which leads to another question about the candidate for baptism, and that has to do with the age of baptism. At what age does a person get baptized? And for that, we're going to save that for the next session.